You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
It's about the cross, Christ.
I've never found another one that took my place.
Don't manage with fear. Realize it's a threat.
At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email to info@allpeopleschurch.ca.
We are talking about the year of Jubilee. We just come out of the series of the anointing, by the way. Candace put out a fantastic video on Facebook on the anointing. I think you should watch it. It's about 3-4 minutes. I watched it last night. I was just blessed by it. I think you need to watch it. Take advantage of the blogs that are out there, the people are writing. Just incredible stuff that's going on. But on December 31st, I began to talk about positioning ourselves for 2018. And I began to talk about our 50th year. There it is, the year of Jubilee. And this is a significant number in the Word of God. And I want us to look at two places today. First of all, I want us to look at Leviticus 25. In verse 18, and then we're going to take up the scripture that we talked a little bit about last week in Matthew 11 and verse 28. But first of all, let's go to Leviticus in the Old Bible, a book of the law, and see what the Lord says to Moses and the people regarding the Sabbath, regarding the Jubilee. And let's see if we can put this all together today, and I'll tell you where I'm going in just a moment. And so here's what the Lord said to Moses: so you shall observe my statutes or my laws or my commandments, and you will keep my judgments and you will perform them. How many know that we're called to obey God's word? Amen. And you will dwell in the land safely, and then the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill. God wants to fill you up. Come on now. And dwell there in safety. And you shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year, since we will not sow nor gather in our produce? And then here's what the Lord says to their question. Then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce for 3 years. Catch these numbers. I'm going to unpack them for you in just a moment. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat old produce until the ninth year, until its produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. If we go into the New Testament now, and I'm going to tie these scriptures in together. Matthew 11, 28, here's the words of Jesus. He said, come to me, all you who labor and you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everybody say rest. Well, you said that good. Let's say it again. Rest. No, come on. We got to say it together. 1, 2, 3. Woo, I love it. Come on. I don't have an axe this week, so you're going to have to work with me here, all right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, or I am humble in heart. And notice he says here, and you will, one translation says you will find rest. Another translation says, I will give you rest. Notice, for your souls. What is your soul? Your soul is your heart, your mind, and your emotions, where most of our problems are. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may be seated. I want you to notice what the Lord is saying in the book of Leviticus. Because when you look at the nation of Israel, my friends, why is Israel so important even to us today? And why is it so important to the Bible? Because God chose a people, God chose a nation, because through this people and through this nation, he actually wants to pastor the nations of the world. God chose a nation to bless. He created a covenant with Abraham. And here's what God is saying to the world: through this nation, I want to bless you. That's why he said to Abraham, through you, I will bless the nations of the world. God is saying to the world, and he's saying to the nations, I want to show you how I want to lead you. I want to show you how I want to bless you, how I want to operate with you, so that when you look at Israel, you will understand my heart, my plans, and my purposes. And then he says this, but by the way, he says, I have certain ways of doing things. If you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, then there are consequences to be paid. But because humanity is stubborn and thick-headed, and we never really learn our lesson, we say, you know what, God? We don't need you. We can do it on our own. And then we pay the price for disobeying God, whether it's individually, whether it's at a family level, whether it's either at a national level, a governmental level. And we have the book of Daniel that illustrates this quite nicely. And so God is using the nation of Israel to shepherd the nations. And so one of the systems, I want you to catch this, God had a system for the nation of Israel. And as he was taking them out of Egypt, he's leading Moses. He says to Moses, Moses, here's the way the nation is going to run. He says, you're going to work for 6 years, but in the seventh year, I don't want you to work. I don't want you to plant. I don't want you to sow. It's going to be a year of rest. It's going to be a Sabbath year. The seventh year, kind of like the seventh day, you know how God rested. So the Bible tells us that God is at rest. Even in the book of Genesis where it says that, you know, 6 days God worked and then he rested. Now, whether that's a 24-hour period, some people say every day represents a thousand years. Whatever the 6 days in your theology it represents, I want you to notice that even God gives us an example that there is a day of rest. God is at rest. And so he's leading us and he shows us even himself, I'll work 6 days, but I will rest. And he says to Moses, here's the way I want you to operate, Moses. For 6 years, I want the nation to work, do whatever it is. You plant, you sow. But in the seventh year, I want you to stop working. Hey, my friends, wouldn't that be a good deal for you and me? Yeah, imagine if I said to you, this is the way Canada's going to work. Every seventh year, you take the whole year off. Who's ready for that? Amen. Come on. I mean, some of you are like, oh, I get 3 weeks of vacation. Praise God, right? But in reality, God is saying the entire year you get it off. Now, then the people said, well, how are we going to live in the seventh year? And so now watch the economy in the heart of God. God says in the sixth year, I will give you enough produce for 3 years. What a deal. I will bless you in that sixth year that'll actually take you to the ninth year. Why? Because in the seventh year, I can't work. I begin to plant in the eighth year. By the time really that I get the harvest of the eighth year, a little bit of simple math, you got to follow me, right? Until I get to the ninth year, God says, I will take care of you for 7, 8, and 9. And then you begin to eat again of the produce of the eighth year. Are you with me? You're like 7, 8, 9. You got it? One more time. I work for 6 years. The seventh year I rest. God says in the sixth year, I'll give you 3 years of blessing. You know what God is saying? I will give you 3 years of income. Think of your income today. If I said to you, God's going to give you 3 years of income in this year to sustain you for 3 years. That's what God is saying. So that you won't go without. I will take care of you. I will bless you. You're not going to have any issues. But what did the children of Israel do? They violated the law of God. They said, wow, we get tripled in the sixth year. Well, forget God. In the seventh year, we're going to plant, we're going to harvest, we're going to do our shtick anyway. We're going to be so far ahead of the game. But my friends, listen, whenever we violate the principles of God, you're never going to be ahead of the game. And so when you look at Jeremiah, when you look at Ezekiel, when you look at Daniel, you know, I've been praying Jeremiah 29:11. Why were those things said to the people? Because they had violated their law, then God said, you're going to be punished. God says we're gonna take Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are gonna come in and they're gonna rule you. We're gonna pull you out of the land. You know why? Because they had violated the law of rest, both for the land and for the people. My friends, listen. It is in the heart of God for you to be at rest. It's God's desire. It's God's plan. And not only for us, it's for the nation. Do you know what God is really saying to the nations of the world? He's saying, if you would follow my system, not only would I bless you, not only would I prosper you, not only would your people prosper, not only would your people be in health, but you would actually have no debt. Do you know why you are taxed to death? Because governments are full of fraud, they're full of greed, they give away your money like they're giving away candy to other nations that haven't done a good job in following God and following economic systems. They make promises that they can't pay for, and then they come to you and tax you to death. Great system. Mm-hmm. The governments create all kinds of load and debt. I think right now, I don't know the exact numbers, but do you know that if you had to pay all your taxes, let's say at once, let's say the government came to you and said, you pay me all the taxes you owe me, you wouldn't see a dime, I think, until June something. Might even be further now, depending on the level of income. Wow, it's quiet in here, eh? So look at the nations, my friend, the nations that say they're doing so well. When you hear numbers not in the millions, you hear debt in the billions and in the trillions. How is it even possible to pay back these dollars? It's absolutely crazy. And why are the nations in such debt? Because they won't follow God's system. So God's saying, I bless you, I'll prosper you. You won't be in debt because I want you to be free. I want you to have liberty. I want you to have jubilee. So my friends, the 50th year, so catch this. So 7 times 7 is 49. So every 6 years, the seventh year was the Sabbath year. It was this happening of 7 times 7 being 49. But then the 50th was the big one. The 50th year, which by the way, APC's in the 50th year. It all of a sudden, it was like the Sabbath on steroids. Can I say it that way? Because not only was God saying, you get to rest. Here's what God was saying. Every Visa bill, every MasterCard, every mortgage, every line of credit, every debt, everything in the 50th year gets wiped out and we start from zero. Huh? Oh, yeah. Man, some of you are not excited about God's system. I'm telling you. Listen, some of your most faithful friends, eh? You notice your friends won't send you cards, but God bless Visa, man. They're going to send you their little card every 21 days, eh? They know you by name. They know where you live. They will find you. They'll call you. They love you so much, they're going to call you. And by the way, the more debt you get into, the more they love you. They go, oh, you can't pay? Why don't we just raise your ability to borrow more? So that why? Because the Bible tells us that what? The borrower is a slave to the lender. And our system is based on slavery. Mm-hmm. Do you know how they, I'm just going to just bash some things open today. You know, they say, oh, if you just work harder, you know, you'll just get ahead. My friends, listen, if you work harder and you make more money, they just take more off you. It is a flawed system. It is a flawed system where the rich get richer and governments take more money than they should and than they have. By the way, I don't know why I'm talking about taxes. Do you know that taxes was a temporary wartime activity? Man, the war's been over for 100 years. Pastor, should we pay taxes? Listen. Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, should we pay for roads? Should we pay for hospitals and basic things to help people? Absolutely. And I think we have a responsibility to do that. But my issue becomes when you are greedy, when you are fraudulent, when you are scandalous, when you use other people's money and throw it away like it's nothing, I have an issue with that. Maybe you don't, I do. When you use the dollars of people that give their lives, you know, my friends, sometimes we say, well, Pastor, why should we tithe? Do you know that within 6 months, I want you to think about this, within 6 months, you know, whether you get paid or you get direct payment, they say that within 6 months of money being printed, let's just say you got paid in cash rather than direct deposit or whatever. But they say within 6 months of money being printed, money has touched every evil thing on the face of the earth. Trafficking, prostitution, drugs, all these areas. What does the tithe do, my friends? What the tithe does, it makes the remaining portion of what you have holy. Because what you are being paid with is unholy money. And if something were, you know, if someone said to you, I'm going to pay you, we just murdered somebody, we're in organized crime. By the way, here, we want to give you the money. Or it came through gambling or prostitution. We want to give you this money. You would say, I don't want that kind of money. But in reality, because it touches everything in the world anyway, that's the money you're being paid with. But what the tithe does is it cleanses and it makes the remainder holy so that your money becomes blessed money. That's the system of God. Which means if you're not a tither, you got blood money. And listen, this is not a, oh, pastor's manipulating. No, I'm just telling you, this is the way This is the word of God. This is the way God works. And so God has the heart to bless you, to bless your family, to bless your nation. And then in the 50th year, listen, people that had literally sold themselves into slavery, they sold their family. So for example, if you had debt back then, there wasn't welfare, there wasn't bankruptcy. You know what you did? You had to sell yourself to somebody, sell your wife, your children. You became the slave of those people, and then you worked off your debt. But in the 50th year, all the slaves had to be released. No more slavery. Everything turned back to zero. It was an amazing accounting principle. And so the nation began to follow the principles of God. I want you to see something, my friends, that in the Old Testament, notice the way it worked. You would work the 6 days and then you would rest. You would work the 6 days and then you would come to the Sabbath. And so God made it a religious ordinance that when the sun goes down on a Friday, all the way to Saturday, the people could not work. Why? Remember what Jesus said. He said, listen, the Sabbath wasn't made for God. He says, the Sabbath was made for you. Because God understands that you and I require rest, that you and I need to recuperate our minds and our souls, that we need a time where we disconnect and we shut down. But my friends, we live in such a day today, there is no shutting down. We're always connected. We never disconnect. And then we wonder why we have the issues that we have. Alicia was sharing with us yesterday, you know, she's a social worker, works in the city, and she was sharing with us the epidemic that is happening among elementary kids and in high school kids and young adults. Everybody is diagnosed with something. So many people that are having, you know, at age 6, 7, 8, 9, stress issues, anxiety issues, panic issues, at a time where they should just be enjoying life, the greatest years of their lives, and people are just being diagnosed with something and being put on some kind of a medication. Listen, we are literally making drug addicts of our children. The system is broken. The system doesn't work, and nobody has the courage to stand up and say, it's a broken system. It's a flawed system. What you are doing to our children, is criminal, and his children are being abused. Children that are stressed out and leaving schools. Being told that, you know, because a little girl played with a truck, having teachers come up to them and say, well, maybe you're a little boy. Children going home, stressed out and confused and wondering, am I a little girl? Am I a little boy? Is this going to happen to me? It is absolutely criminal what is going on in our system today. And my friends, can I just help you? And I want to help some people online. Are there little girls that, you know, in my day, you know, we used to call them tomboys. Anybody remember that? So they're very athletic. They're very, you know, sometimes they could even beat up the boys. We would say, oh, you're a tomboy. But interestingly, there came a time in their lives where they probably outgrew that, and they come into their feminism, right? As they get older, they recognize, hey, I can be athletic, but I'm still a girl. But today, it's no longer you're a tomboy. The moment they see these things in you, immediately they label you. Yeah? Well, maybe you're a guy, maybe you're a lesbian, throwing all kinds of confusion into these children, and then we wonder why we have to diagnose them with things. You know, I got a psychologist, a professor of psychology that's sitting right here that deals with these very things, that is much more educated than I am, but I just look at it from a sense of what's happening in our realm, and these children that should be at peace and at rest are absolutely stressed out. By the way, those of you watch it online, Jesus says something to you, that if you cause these little ones to depart from him, it is better for you to tie a large millstone around your neck, these are the words of Jesus, and to drown yourself in the sea than to do these little ones any harm. And you can take that up with Jesus, those aren't my words. But it's a serious day. But my friends, we get caught up in the system. But I want you to know today, I want to liberate you. You and I are not of this world. You and I are not of this system. We're of another system. So the Old Testament says, work, 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 and then rest. And then Jesus comes along. He rises from the dead on the first day, being Sunday. And you know what he says? He says, from now on, under the new covenant, we will not end in rest. We will actually start the week in rest. Woo! Think about that. That, my friends, out of the New Testament, the Lord is saying, I want you to start your day. I want you to start your life. I want you to start your week in my presence. Isn't this why we gather in the house of God? I want you to start at rest. And my friends, I want you to be at rest in everything you do. Now, does that mean that we lie down and we never go to work? That's not what he's saying. In case you're wondering and you call in and say, well, my pastor says I need to be at rest. It's not what the Bible says, because the Bible says, by the way, Paul said to the Ephesians, if you don't work, you don't eat. But when I go to work, guess what? I'm at rest. When I'm with my family, guess what? I'm at rest. When I'm in the midst of a storm, guess what? I'm at rest. I'm always coming from the place of rest rather than the place of labor. Why? Because my trust is in God, because I serve a different system. I have known people, listen, I have known people that make six-figure salaries, but they can't get ahead. Do you know why? They're not blessed. But then I know other people that make $30,000, $40,000, and somehow they're blessed. Somehow things multiply in their hands. Remember, if you were here New Year's Eve, where I said, listen, even when we go, listen, when I go shopping, friends, I want to just give you a little secret. Apart from the parking anointing, I want to give you a little secret that there are times, listen to me, ladies, this is big for you, okay? There are times that you go out shopping and you are looking for things, but I want you to know something, there are things that are looking for you. Some of you just didn't get that. 3 o'clock is going to come to you. How many times have you gone out looking for things and, you know, you can't find the deal, it's not the right size, you know, and then all of a sudden, you just kind of maybe strolling around and boom, you're like, wow, I wasn't even looking for this, and what an amazing deal. Like, why? Because it's looking for you, because the favor of God is on your life. Favor. Somebody say favor. Because it's the year of favor. I'm afraid somewhere we got to begin to rely on this supernatural kingdom, that we're not working our guts out all the time and not being able to get ahead. Because, you know, I make $100,000 or I make $80,000 or even more, but $130,000 is going out the back way. Huh? I put so much money in my pocket, Pastor, but it's like I got a hole in my pocket. I can't earn enough money. It just seems this breaks down and that goes and this. And you know, I was just with somebody just recently and they were saying to me, Pastor, we don't even know where our money goes. We're not even sure what we're spending it on. We're not even sure. We should have thousands at the end of the month, but we have nothing. As a matter of fact, we're in debt. It's because the blessing of God's not on your life. It's because the fish and the loaves aren't multiplying in your hands. It's because the evil one, as it says in Malachi, is robbing you, stealing you, not only of your money, he's robbing you of your health, he's robbing you of your energy. You're working your guts out 7 days a week, and you can't get ahead. You know why? Because the blessing of God, and you don't honor God, isn't on your life. Thank you for the golf club. When I was in the retail world, and I got to verify if this was the late 70s or the early 80s. When you get older, every decade just blends into one another. But do you remember, my friends, that Sunday was actually a sacred day? Stores weren't open on Sunday. You couldn't go to the mall. Huh? It was really the nation that at that time was following the principles of God. The nation was based on, hey, Sunday's God's day. It's a day of rest. You go to church, you go to family. This is the way we do things. And then all of a sudden a recession hit. And of course, instead of trusting God to get us through the recession, someone had the brilliant idea of, hey, you know what? During this recession, let's open everything on a Sunday so that people will spend more and we'll get out of the recession. And so we've been through that recession and many recessions, but I want you to notice something. Everything is still open on a Sunday. Every major sports event occurs on a Sunday, including the Super Bowl today. Do you know, and I've been in America, I've preached in America, that my friends, listen, I've been in churches where it is very clear, you better be done at noon, Pastor, because the game is on. No joke. I say, you people are addicted to your sports. It has become an icon where we got to be out of the house of God in time for you to get in front of that football game. My friends, something is wrong. And then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Flies in the oil. God, I wish I had an axe right now. Praise Jesus. But it's not the way God wants us to work. How many people, listen, have you heard people say this? I can't sleep. I can't shut down my mind. I have anxiety. I'm stressed out. Huh? My past haunts me, my present stresses me out, and my future intimidates me. Listen, church, God doesn't want you to live like that. I call this the three F's of stress: financial, family, and future. 95% of your stress and your anxiety is going to be in those three things: financial, family, and future. How many people are so concerned and worried about the future and what's going to happen? But my friends, you know, in this whole idea of the Jubilee and God's system, you know, in that 70th year, in that 50th year, it forced people to simplify their lives. God said, I want the land to rest and I want you to rest because it's important for you. How many people today cannot get a proper night's sleep? You know, they talk about REM sleep, where it's the level, you know, the deepest level of sleep that you need in order for your body and for yourselves, or your cells within you, to literally renew what's going on in the inside of you. Do you know how many people that if they are sleeping are never getting to that deepest level, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're still exhausted? Some of you are falling asleep right now. You're so exhausted. Somebody elbow your neighbor right now. Just give him an elbow and say, wake up. Come on. We're so connected. But my friends, you know, notice what Jesus said. I will give you rest for your soul. One of the things is our mind, and one of the issues is we never disconnect. Can I tell you, there's actually a move amongst people that work for Apple that actually want to get the iPhone away from the hands of children. Do you know that? I'm just going to give you some practical things. One of the worst things you can do is to bring your smartphone or tablet, whatever it is, into your bedroom. There are two places that I believe in the home should be sacred. Number one is the kitchen, because that's where we should gather as a family and have meals together and communicate and talk to one another by not texting one another because they're sitting right there. Hello? Hello? So the kitchen should be a sacred time. Parents, please have meals with your children without the TV on or the internet on or all these other things. Actually have conversations. You know, I hear this in my house too. My little director, don't shut me down, girl. But my little director's up there and she'll just say, Dad. Yeah, I'll say, it's dinner time. She'll say, Dad, I'm not hungry. I don't care. It's dinner time. This isn't about food. It's about family. Well, I ate a snack. Great. Sit here. And watch me eat. And then when they were smaller, we would do things like we call it high low. What was the high of your day? What was the low of your day? And we begin to share our heart. We begin to discuss. And then when it's done, you can go. But in the bedroom, what ought to be not only a place of intimacy, but a place of rest. Do you know statistics prove that within 5 minutes of people waking up, they pick up their cell phone? Ooh, the guilty flee when no one pursueth. Guilty as charged. One of the worst offenders. Do you know that they are saying it is easier to get people off crack cocaine than to get them away from their smart device? They may be smart devices, but they have made us stupid. Somebody ought to Twitter that. Get this stuff away from you. One of the things that will absolutely destroy a good night's sleep is, oh, let me just check. Let me just check what's happening on Facebook. And then someone says something and something irritates you, or somebody all of a sudden sends an email and, Pastor, you're this and you're that and you said this and you offended me. And all of a sudden your entire night, your insides are going on about something that was said that you could have avoided. Huh? Hello? On a Sunday morning, you know, I have a phone system. There's a little red light. The little red light says to me, there's messages. I can't tell you on a Sunday morning coming to church, you know, I've picked up a message that maybe was left there on Saturday or something. And then all of a sudden there could be an explosion because people are nasty. And then I got to come out here. I got to preach. I got to focus on God. I got to worship. And you know, the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, son, this is what the Lord said to me. Stop picking up that phone on a Sunday. And so I will not pick up messages in that office at least until after the services, but I actually try to avoid it on Sunday. If hopefully I can have a day where I don't have to deal with mean-spirited, nasty people that get me what? Out of the rest. Listen, the enemy works overtime to get you out of your rest. Oh, am I talking to anybody today? God's not feeling any love in this room today. Come on now. A couple of points and I'm going to land this plane. My friends, notice what Jesus said. He said, if you come to me, he said, I will give you rest. And then another translation says, you will find it. See, rest isn't something that's automatic. Either it has to be given to you or you got to find it. It actually takes work to rest. Huh? It doesn't take work to work. It takes work to rest. My friends, listen, you can be a workaholic, and I believe in working hard. I believe in giving people fair time for fair wages. But my friends, even work can become an icon to us where you will prematurely destroy your life. Do you remember in the fall, I talked about not balance, I talked about rhythm, living our lives in rythm. My rhythm isn't your rhythm. Your rhythm isn't my rhythm. My capacity is not your capacity. You may have more, you may have less. Stop comparing yourself to other people and operate within the grace that God has given you. Maybe you don't have the capacity that someone else has. Stop trying to be like them. Stop trying to compete like that person. You be you. Embrace who God has made you. And my friends, embrace the limitations even that God has put on your lives, because limitations are there for your safety. There's a reason why we have a speed limit on our streets, that hopefully we will be safe. But the moment we violate even speed limits, bad things happen to us. So if you begin to violate the speed limits that God has placed on your life, then get ready for a crash. Because too many times our lives are out of control, and then we just say, oh, God bless me. Oh, just be with me. And my friends, a couple of things. The next thing I want to say to you is this. Be careful when you become tired. It was on the 40th day of the temptation that the evil one came. He didn't come on day 17. He didn't come on day 28. He didn't even come on day 39. But on the 40th day, when he saw that our Lord was tired, he was hungry, he had fasted, he says, ah, temptation time. Careful. When you get overtired, when you get exhausted, and all of a sudden your spiritual senses are not maybe where they should be, and all of a sudden the enemy will come and he'll dupe you, not because you want to do evil, but because you're tired. This is why rest is important. This is why God wants to liberate us. This is why, my friends, listen, God wants us to live a simpler life than we're living today. You know, sometimes issues are placed. You say, Pastor, what about the people that have to work on a Sunday? I get it. I get that those things are on us. I don't want you to leave here thinking I'm preaching the law of Sunday. I'm not talking about that. As much as I am preaching the law, that in the sense that you must allow your body to recuperate. But you see, if you go buy an $80,000 car, huh? Because Ranjiv drives an $80,000 car. Actually, he drives a minivan, to be honest with you. I don't think you want his minivan anyway. But anyway, but my point, sorry. Everybody say with Ranjiv, SUV. It's actually a minivan. But anyway, if you got a $1,000 car payment and you gotta work your guts out to keep up with somebody else for that little emblem. Huh? Huh? Come on now. Am I talking to anybody? Come on now. Or you got to go get a 5,000 square foot house. You only probably need about 2,400. But, you know, you got to make a statement. If you're, I don't know, plates and vases come from the Ming Dynasty. If you have to have $1,000 prints and frames, if you got to get the latest 70-inch LED TV because people are coming over to your house today, Pastor, are you against these things? My friends, listen, may you all drive Ferraris, honest to God. May the Lord prosper you and bless you beyond. May you give away Ferraris. How about that? But if you're their slave, does God want us to have things? He does. He just doesn't want things to have us. If it's going to pull you out of the rest, some of you are parents, you know. And I said this morning, I believe the word of God is practical. You know, we got little children and sometimes, you know, we didn't have things. And so, you know, we want our kids to have everything that we didn't have. And so we put them in everywhere, karate, soccer, ballet, football. And you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, taking them here and taking them there and spending all kinds of money because, you know, little Johnny is going to be a football star and little Susie's going to be in Hollywood and all the rest of it. Killing yourself. I love what Candace, and I'm going to repeat and I'm going to quote, pick one. Hey kid, pick one. We want to bless you. We want you to have things. Pick it. And we'll take you there. Exhausting ourselves. Do you know what? You know what's sad? Honestly, you know, in my day, friends, listen, this is the reality, right? In my day, as long as you came home when it got dark, right, Vito? And by the way, we had Italian mamas. They will come find you. And drag your sorry you-know-what. And more, actually, weren't even afraid to slap you in front of your friends. You knew when that sun came down, you used to come home. Today, I remember when my kids were growing up, they wanted to play, I'd be right there. Because the world cannot be trusted. It's a different day, and so there are demands. I had a couple. Okay, there's the other side of the couple there. Do you know, can I just share your story? Yeah. Ranjiv and I were talking. I don't know if it was about his car. I think it was about his car. He made this statement to me. He said, Pastor, he said, you can make fun of my car. He said, but I want you to know the thousands of dollars that Keisha and I pay in private schooling because we don't want our children in the public system. And I would rather be uncool in a minivan. I would rather be uncool, but But my children are a priority to me. It's now, should everybody put their kids in private school? I'm not saying that. But for Reg, even Keisha, they felt that was important. So you know what they said? We will sacrifice this because this is important. Not, hey, I'm going to get in debt and try to do both. We're going to look at our priorities. And God, you know, we did the breakout video, right? The things that Keisha did. I remember, I'm going to tell you a story, going downtown on the GO train, 3 hours a day traveling. I remember going to Ranjiv as a pastor, not because I'm meddling in their life, saying, Ranjiv, this is not good. It's not good for your wife. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. Let's trust God. Let's believe God together. I said, I don't like this for you. I don't like this for your family. It is unsustainable. We began to believe God. And God did amazing things, right, Keisha? Now, Keisha's full. You saw the video. Go online and watch the video. Listen, God can do it. Because that Sabbath year, the year of Jubilee, you know what it comes down to? Here's what God is saying. Will you trust me? Or will you trust yourself? I have people, I remember this one time, this individual came up to me and he said to me, you know, I was working in the corporate world. He said, you are promoted above your education. And so I looked at this fellow and I said, you know, bro, I said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's who you know. It's who you know. Because I trust God that wherever I lack, God will make it up. Some of us in this room, you have high level jobs, you have problems and things that you need to solve and figure out. My friends, do you think the Holy Ghost knows your job better than you? Huh? Do you think he knows where the next house is, the next building is? Do you think he knows where the next deal is? Huh? Yesterday I heard about this thing about the law of 2 degrees. But do you think that God knows the next person, the next situation, the next place, the next problem? You think the Holy Ghost could just reveal something? You think maybe he's just a little bit smarter than you? Ask him. Say, Lord, give me this. Because friends, listen, the world will pay you for the problems you solve. And they will fire you for the problems you cause. Solve problems. Look at the book of Daniel. Solve problems. They'll bless you. They'll promote you. They'll give you money. They'll take care of you. Cause issues and they will fire your sorry you know what. And then don't blame it on Jesus and come and give me a soul. Oh, pastor, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're suffering because you're a troublemaker. And I'd have fired you too. Come on, give me some love. Give me some love. Do you know, honestly, I'm going to close now. Not every week, but a lot of weeks, I just say to the Lord, is anybody coming back next week, Lord? This is not a good system. I'm challenging and stretching people that pay my salary. But church, listen, I have to be faithful to God. Do you know I'm looking back here? Do you know that we have multiple people that are in their 20s that are in our top 10 of tithers in this church? In their 20s, in the top 10. Because we have poured into them, because they honor God, because they trust God, because the blessing of God is on their lives, and God says, I'm just gonna bless you, man. But you know, they all have something about them. You know what? Generous people. Generous people. We had one individual. I had to have a talk with him today. He gave us, I believe the number on New Year's Eve, the number was something like $10,000. It was a crazy amount. And so I went to this person. I said, did you pay all your tithes all at the end of the year? He said, no, pastor, that wasn't all my tithe. He said, I did a big one at the beginning. I did a big one at the end. 10,000. $10,000 was a part of his tithe. I said, okay, can you just kind of like massage that throughout the rest of the year? It would, but because of the nature of the job, but my friends, listen, that's a person in their 20s. And then we look at certain people, we get upset and we get jealous and, well, why is God blessing them? And why, you know, why do they have the beautiful car and the beautiful purse? Because they honor God. It's not a secret. Honor God. God wants to bless you too. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. I want to pray this verse because I can feel the arrows coming from the worship team. Come on, let's stand this morning. Are we okay? My friends, listen, I want you to be at rest. Whoever wins the Super Bowl today, be at rest. You know, if your chicken burns today, be at rest. You got to shovel some snow, be at rest. Somebody calls you something on Facebook, just be at rest. Here's what I want to pray over you. And please know how much I love you. Please know how much I love you. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. He says, it is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. Oh, God. For so he gives his beloved sleep. And then he begins to talk about children. Wow. Father, in this house that you have given us, those watching us, the guardianship that you have provided for us, Father, may none of the people eat the bread of sorrows.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.